Chapter 4. Letters from Home. The boys sat at their desks. They didn't talk or laugh. They just looked very sad, except for young Wackford Squeers. He was named after his father. He smiled and tried to stamp on the other boy's feet in his new shoes. Nicholas shook his head sadly. "That boy is cruel, like his father," he thought. Mr. and Mrs. Squeers also had a daughter called Fanny. She was about 23 years old and was cold and hard, just like her mother. They were a terrible family. Mr. Squeers came into the schoolroom. He was holding his stomach after a good breakfast. The boys all stood up when he came in. Then they sat down at their desks and waited for him to speak.
"The lesson this morning is spelling," Mr. Squeers said. "Where's the first boy?"
"Please, sir, he's cleaning the kitchen window," said one little boy.
"Of course he is," said Mr. Squeers. "I remember now. Well, Nicholas, this is how we teach spelling here at Do the Boys' Hall. That boy has learned how to spell clean. C-L-E-A-N. Now that he has learned how to spell it, he is doing it. Where is the second boy?"
"Please, sir, he's working in the garden," said another boy.
"Yes, he has learned to spell the word garden. G-A-R-D-E-N. Now he is working in the garden. It's a good way of teaching spelling, isn't it, Nicholas?"
"It seems to work, sir," Nicholas replied simply.
"Now we will learn some vocabulary. Third boy, what is a horse?"
Mr. Squeers stared at a small pale boy at the back of the schoolroom.
"A horse is an animal, sir," replied the boy.
"It is. It's an animal with four legs," Mr. Squeers said. "Now, go and brush my horse, boy. I want his coat to shine. The rest of the class, go and pump water until I tell you to stop. It's washing day tomorrow."
The boys stood up and went outside. Mr. Squeers looked closely at Nicholas. "He's trying to find out what I am thinking," Nicholas thought. "He knows that the boys aren't learning anything this morning. They are just doing jobs for him." A few hours later, the boys were all back in the schoolroom.
"Now it's your turn, Nicholas," said Mr. Squeers. "You can do something useful to earn your money. I want you to listen to the boys reading."
Nicholas wasn't surprised to hear the boys read slowly, in quiet voices. They made lots of mistakes. At 1 o'clock, it was time for lunch, which was as horrible as breakfast. After lunch, Mr. Squeers said,
"Now, it's time for my report, Nicholas. When I come back from London, I always tell the boys news of their families. Sometimes there are letters for them."
When all the boys were in the schoolroom, Mr. Squeers came in with a few papers in his hand. In his other hand, he was carrying his cane.
"If any boy speaks, I will hit him with this," Mr. Squeers shouted,
showing the boys his cane. Then Mr. Squeers began his report.
"I have been to London, boys, and now I have returned to you all. I feel very well and very strong."
The boys tried to smile.
"Your parents are pleased to hear how well you are," Mr. Squeers continued, "and they have all paid your school fees, except for Mr. Boulder's father. He still has to pay me £2. Where are you, Boulder? Come here."
A small boy slowly made his way up to Mr. Squeers' desk and held up his hands. They were very red.
Boulder. What have you done to your hands, boy? Mr. Squeers asked.
It's the hard work, sir. It hurts my hands, replied the boy very quietly.
Then Mr. Squeers hit Boulder's hands with his cane.
You wicked boy, he shouted,
and he hit the poor boy again and again. Boulder cried out with pain, but Mr. Squeers did not stop. At last it was over.
Stop that noise, boy, cried Mr. Squeers. Smike, take him outside.
Smike took Boulder out of the room, and Mr. Squeers continued his report.
Here's a letter for Cobby, he said.
Cobby stood up.
Your grandmother is dead, Cobby, Mr. Squeers said. Your sister has sent 18 pence for you. I will keep it. It will pay for the broken window. Stand up, Greymarsh, said Mr. Squeers. Your aunt is pleased that you are so happy at school. She likes Mrs. Squeers and me very much. She says that you must try hard to make us happy. She has written a very nice letter.
Mr. Squeers looked at his papers again.
Mobbs, your mother tells me that you do not like the food. She wants me to hit you, and she has stopped your pocket money.
Then Mr. Squeers hit Mobbs with his cane and sent him out of the room. There were more letters. If they contained money, Mr. Squeers put it in his pocket. If there were any clothes, he took them. They were the wrong size for any of the other boys, he said, but just right for his son, young Wackford. Then he went to his warm sitting room to talk to his wife and son. He left Nicholas to look after the boys. Nicholas and the boys went to the kitchen. They ate bread and little pieces of cheese. As it grew dark, the kitchen became very cold. Nicholas felt terrible. There was so much cruelty and unhappiness in this place. He wished he was at home in London. But if he left the school, his Uncle Ralph would not look after his mother and sister. He knew he must try to be happy and try to like his new job. Then Nicholas saw Smike sitting on the kitchen floor. When Nicholas looked at him, Smike started to shake. Don't be afraid of me, Smike, he said. Are you cold?
It is always cold, Smike replied.
You poor boy, Nicholas said. Smike began to cry. Don't cry, said Nicholas kindly. Soon you will be old enough to leave this place.
I have been here for so many years, since I was a little boy. I hate this place. I think my heart will break, cried Smike.
There is always hope, Nicholas told him.
There is no hope for me, cried Smike. I have no home, no family, no friends, and no hope. Crying and pain, that's all there is for me.
The bedtime bell rang. Smike sighed and walked slowly out of the room. Nicholas went to bed. Back in London, Kate Nickleby was in Miss La Creevy's sitting room. Miss La Creevy lived below Kate and Mrs. Nickleby's apartment in the Strand. She was an artist. Kate was sitting very still because Miss La Creevy was painting her.
It's going to be a good picture. It looks just like you, my dear, said Miss La Creevy.
You are very clever, Kate said, and you are very pretty, Miss La Creevy replied.
Just then, Ralph Nickleby arrived. Kate went upstairs to sit with him and her mother.
I have found you a job in a dressmaker's shop, Kate. It is owned by Madame Mantalini, he said. You can start tomorrow. I am a very kind uncle, aren't I?
Kate did not want to work in a dressmaker's shop. but she knew she had to say yes.
You will work from 9 in the morning until 9 in the evening. You will have your meals with Madame Mantalini. She will pay you 6 shillings a week, Ralph said.
I will do my best, replied poor Kate. Then she remembered her happy life on the farm with her mother, her father and her brother, and she began to cry.
Don't cry, said Ralph. I hate it when a woman cries.
I'm being silly. I'm sorry, Uncle, Kate said. Say thank you, Kate, said Mrs. Nickleby. Uncle Ralph is very kind. You must remember, things have changed for our family, and we must all do what we can. Thank you, Uncle Ralph, said Kate. She wiped her eyes with her handkerchief.
There's one more thing, said Ralph. I have found a new house for you. My assistant, Newman Noggs, will come at 6 o'clock on Saturday to take you there.
Kate and her mother were sorry to leave their apartment, and Miss La Creevy was sorry to see them go. But Saturday soon arrived, and Newman Noggs came to take them to the new house. The house was near the river, in Thames Street. It was cold and dark, and the windows were dirty. Inside, Kate and her mother found a table, a few chairs and a bed. There was a little jug of milk and some tea on a shelf.
Look what your uncle has given us, said Mrs. Nickleby. He is very kind.
Yes, he is very kind, replied Kate, and she tried to smile. They didn't know it, but it was not Ralph who had left the milk and tea. It was Ralph's assistant, Newman Noggs. He had bought the tea and milk and the few pieces of furniture with his own money. When they heard the front door close behind Newman Noggs, Mrs. Nickleby and Kate were left alone to think about their new life.